Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Arros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Rafa Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
Episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right. It's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. And against all better judgment, Nashville Sports Radio has given us not only a radio show and not only the opportunity to come in and take over the station, whatever it is that we feel like, but they also gave us key to the building, the alarm code, and we know how to use the board better than anybody has ever done it before. We're bringing you the goods this morning in the trenches, my friends. The Renegades will be joining me first thing this morning. Nashville Predators last night faced off against the Chicago Blackhawks. Now we'll head on the road to face off against the Chicago Blackhawks. The middle of a best of three series against the Blackhawks that could very well determine what happens in fourth place in the final playoff position for the Central Division this season. Mastro Damas will be here to break it down, go inside the box scores and talk about UC Soros' performance. Sean C. Smith will be here with some analysis from ontheforecheck.com. And Brian Bastin will be in before the end of the show with one big stat. Remember, you can always listen to this show completely for free by going to WNSR.com, streaming the show 100% live and for free, also offering you the opportunity to all of our replays right there. If you just click on the Predneck Nation page, you'll get links to all of the archives. Well over 500 shows now in the trenches, 10 years of bringing you the goods and covering Nashville Predators hockey in the NHL for Nashville Sports Radio. The Renegades of Puck and Nashville Sports Radio have been an incredible partnership. The WNSR app is also completely free for you to download. Take the show with you anywhere in the universe. Also listening over the air, 560 AM, 95.9 FM. We sure do appreciate you all across Middle Tennessee. 107.9 FM as you're headed through Smyrna into the borough and beyond to Coffee County and Manchester. 103.9 in Drakesboro, Kentucky, simulcasting the show, helping us get over into Bowling Green and also down in Clarksville, just a little bit better. And again, we're always online, WNSR.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Renegades of Puck, building the trenches one foot at a time, one listener at a time, each and every day. Everybody knows I'm Renegades, so make sure you're passing those links and make sure you're getting it out there. We are getting rewarded, and there are incredible things happening here in the trenches for the Renegades of Puck. I did cryptically tweet out that there would be a major programming announcement for this radio show, and there will be. You know, every year around playoff time, we have used that as leverage to force our hand and to make things happen. This year is no different. Something very big is coming, Renegades. Something very big is coming, Renegades. Monitor the trenches. Be aware. You will want to be the first to know this information as soon as we can bring you that news. The Nashville Predators start the morning in fourth place in the Central Division after 47 games played. That's right. There is only 8 games left to be played on the season. The Nashville Predators, after going to Chicago for this next game, 5 at home, 3 on the road, 25-21-1 is the Nashville Predators record. They have 51 points. They are 3 points ahead of now the Dallas Stars in 5th place after last night's action. Dallas has only played 44 games. That's 3 less than the Nashville Predators and are 3 points behind the Nashville Predators. So the Dallas Stars are very much within this playoff race. We'll go over the scheduling and the playoff races for all 3 of the teams that I think are in the running for this 4th position. The Chicago Blackhawks, the Nashville Predators' opponent for the week. The Preds dealt with them last night at Bridgestone Arena for the 6th time this season. Now the Blackhawks have played 46 games on the season. They are 21-20-5. They have 47 points and have fallen 4 points behind the Nashville Predators. Predators. For the Preds, after last night, that was their 14th home victory of the season. Now heading out on the road to face off against the Blackhawks for the next two games. On the road, the Preds are 11-12-1. The Chicago Blackhawks on home ice are 11-8-2. We've got a three-team race between the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars and the Chicago Blackhawks to determine who is going to be the fourth and final participant in the playoffs. We still don't know who they would be taking on in first place as the three-team weave at the top of the division continues. Carolina Hurricanes start the morning in first place with 63 points. The Florida Panthers also have 63 points, but have played two more games than Carolina. Tampa Bay sitting at 62 points in third place. These teams trade positions just about each and every night, so no surprise here that it's going to come down to the final periods of the season, probably to determine the division winner and also to determine who is going to finish in the fourth spot for the final playoff position. I mentioned let's track the playoff race. That is becoming the most important thing out there. For Chicago, the Nashville Predators are looking to put them away this week. If they can finish sweeping, the Chicago Blackhawks still have gone 8-0 against that team in the regular season. Chicago has 7 home and 3 away, including the two I just mentioned with the Nashville Predators. That'll be Wednesday and Friday. Then they will take on Tampa Bay at home. Then they will take on the Florida Panthers for 2 at home. And then they head out on the road for 3 in a row against the Carolina Hurricanes before closing the season on home ice against the Dallas Stars. So the Chicago Blackhawks definitely do not have a very favorable or friendly schedule. The Dallas Stars last night come away with a victory over Detroit in the shootout 3-2. And now 3 home games, 9 road games to go for the Dallas Stars. They will take on Detroit tonight. Thursday and Saturday, they'll head off to Detroit for road games. The 26th and the 27th, they will be at home against Carolina. Then they will go off onto the road for 7 consecutive games at Tampa Bay, here in Nashville, at Florida, at Tampa Bay for 2 more, and they'll end the season in Chicago. So neither Chicago nor Dallas has a very favorable schedule down the stretch of their single-digit remaining games on the schedule. For the Nashville Predators, they will face off against the Blackhawks the rest of this week, then come on home, and they'll face off against the Florida Panthers on home ice on the 26th and the 27th, and then they'll finish out the season series against the Dallas Stars on May the 1st, close out the road series in Columbus, and that will be the road schedule. 5-3-5-5 on those two games at Columbus. Close out the overall season schedule on the 8th and the 10th of May against the Carolina Hurricanes on home ice. And for the Nashville Predators, it is what they have accomplished against the teams below them in the standings that has allowed them to be where they are in the standings. Because when you look at the top, 0-5-1 against Carolina, 2-4 against Florida, 2-6 against Tampa, but then you flip to the bottom of the division, 4-3 against the Dallas Stars. And yes, that's who the Nashville Predators are in a direct race with, and they will have to deal with very soon. 6-0 against the Blackhawks, though. 6-2 against the Red Wings. 5-1 currently against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And jokingly, before the season started, my preview said that the Nashville Predators would have a very difficult time with both Tampa Bay and Carolina, but no worries. They could pick up 16 wins easily against Chicago and Detroit. Of course, this is the NHL, and I was being funny about it, but the Nashville Predators now 12-2 against Chicago and Detroit with 2 games to go in the regular season series between the Preds and the Blackhawks. And of course, those are coming up next. And that is what we are here to preview. Let's go back and take a look at the season series between the Preds and the Blackhawks to this point. It was the 26th of January when the two teams got things started, and the Preds had a 3-2 victory on home ice in overtime. Rene with the win, Yossi with the overtime game winning goal. They'd follow that up the next night with a 2-1 winner in the shootout. This time, UC Saros got the win, making 29 saves, and it was Matt Duchene with the shootout game winning goal. They wouldn't play again for 2 months until March 27th, but the results would be the same as the Preds would make their first trip to Chicago and win 3-1. UC Saros, 29 saves in the victory. Granlund, Grimaldi, and Johansson, your goal scorers for the Predators. The next night, the Predators 3, Chicago 2 in Chicago. Rene gets the win in that one. Arvidsson, Yarncroak, and Yossi with a goal each. April the 3rd, the Nashville Predators would shut out the Blackhawks on Bridgestone Arena ice. UC Saros, an incredible game. 41 saves in that one. Cunnan, Sissons, and Tolvanen would be your goal scorers for Nashville. And just last night, the Nashville Predators defeated the Chicago Blackhawks 5-2, closing out the home portion of the schedule in this regular season series against the Blackhawks. UC Saros gets the victory, making 30 saves. Matt Duchene back on the score sheet. Janot and Cunnan also with a goal in this one. That makes the Nashville Predators 6-0 against the Chicago Blackhawks on the regular season series with 2 games remaining. Of course, that'll be Wednesday night on national TV and then Friday night, both of those in Chicago. The Preds have outscored the Hawks 19-8 on the season. It is a very busy night for the Central Division. It was a very busy last night for the Central Division. Tampa Bay beat Carolina in overtime. Florida beat Columbus. And I already mentioned the Dallas-Detroit game. Well, tonight, Carolina at Tampa Bay again. Columbus is at Florida. Detroit taking on Dallas. So another big night for the Central Division and a lot of scoreboard watching for Nashville Predators fans. Taking a look inside the numbers between these two teams. For the Nashville Predators, their goal score is 2.57 per game. That is only 25th best in the NHL. The Chicago Blackhawks at 2.76 is 18th best in the NHL. Goals against the Nashville Predators at 2.81 is 16th overall. Chicago at 20th overall, giving up 3.09 per game. Shots for Chicago, 22nd. Shots against Chicago, 30th. The Nashville Predators come in at 16th and 22nd, respectively, in those categories overall in the NHL. On the special teams, this is where the Nashville Predators have been a big conversation all season long. The power play, without Tolvanen, without Forsberg, simply non-existent. Now has sunk back to 22nd overall in the NHL, converting at 18.3%, 25 out of 137 opportunities on the season. Chicago Blackhawks power play, got a look at it last night. The Preds have done a decent job as of late shutting it down, but that penalty power play is still very lethal, especially with that top-end unit ranked 7th currently in the NHL. They've converted 34 times on 144 opportunities, or 23.6%. The penalty kill for the Nashville Predators, giving up a power play goal against last night, now 37 on the season, 29th overall on the PK at 75%. That puts them back in the tie for the worst or the most overall goals given up on the power play against this season with the New Jersey Devils. They had finally gotten out of that category, but only for a day. And the Chicago Blackhawks team, not much better on the penalty kill, 27th in the NHL. They've given up 31 power play goals against on the season. Let's go back and take a look at what happened last night at Bridgestone Arena between the Nashville Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks. Game 6 out of 8 of the regular season series. The Nashville Predators looking to continue their dominance against the Blackhawks this year and also looking to continue remaining in 4th place and a playoff spot, as they have done since going into Chicago and sweeping the 2-game set. Ever since, the Nashville Predators have been in a good defensive spot on the high ground, holding off the chase pack, and so far at least the Nashville Predators have been able to do a very good job, but Dallas currently making a strong push. How would it work out at Bridgestone Arena? Well, it would in fact be April the 19th of the year 2021. The Nashville Predators would be taking on the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena. Your line combinations would be as follows: Grimaldi, Johansson, and Arvidsson, Yarncroak, Granlund, and Cunning. Cousins, Holla, and Matt Duchene back in the lineup for his second game and taking a third-line wing position. I'm just fine with that for now. Trenton, Sissons, and Janot make up your fourth line. Yossi and Benning, Ekholmen, Ellis, Harper, and Gudbranson make up your defensive pairings. And Juuse Saros, of course, gets the start net for this most pivotal game on the schedule between the Nashville Predators, the first of three, against the Chicago Blackhawks this week. Just 1:19 into the first period, and we see Juuse Saros coming up with a save on Murphy's long shot, his first touch of the game. Good stop by Juuse Saros at 2:47. Ekholm hits the post after the puck goes off of Lankinen. Preds had a good look at it early. We go to 6:22 of the first period, and here's Matt Duchene with his fourth goal of the season. Great to see him back on the score sheet. It was Benning taking the shot. Holla gets the first redirect. Duchene gets the second redirect. It was the double deflection for Matt Duchene and the Nashville Predators. Now they have a 1-0 lead on home ice against the Chicago Blackhawks on Matt Duchene's fourth goal of the season. At 7:13 in the first period, Juuse Saros comes up with a blocker save. Also comes up with a rebound opportunity save at this moment. At 9:21, Grimaldi's shot plus Johansson rebound has to be stopped by Lankinen. And Johansson had a great backhand look at this opportunity. 14:05, Ekholm's off to the box. 2 minutes for tripping. He stuck his leg out right off of the faceoff and got himself caught. And DeBrincat is converting for the Chicago Blackhawks, his 23rd goal of the season. And he usually has strong performances against the Nashville Predators. Suter got the rebound attempt. He tried to stuff it into the net, but it goes right off of the pad and straight to DeBrincat in the left circle. Perfect opportunity for a goal scorer of that caliber, and he converts. Nashville now tied with Chicago, one apiece in the first period on home ice. 16:41. Trenton's off the box. 2 minutes for tripping. The Nashville Predators would do a very good job on the penalty kill and would allow very few chances. We hit the end of the first period with a tie game. Nashville out shooting Chicago 9-8. What we saw in the first period was high events changed the momentum of this game. The Nashville Predators were playing very good when Matt Duchene scored, but when DeBrincat scored, the Chicago Blackhawks started pushing very hard towards the end of the second period. We'll see how the second and the third play out. 1:03 of the second period, Granlund's breakaway is stopped at the post. The continuation of the shift, though, would generate some strong pressure and some good offense, ending with a Benning shot. Benning noticeable on the offensive side of things, partnering up at least briefly with Roman Josi out there. The line combinations and D pairs change consistently throughout the games recently, so you'll just have to continue tracking there. 3:21, Tsaros comes up with a save plus a rebound opportunity, and that goes over the top. Good job there by the Nashville Predators D getting in the way and tying up some sticks and bodies. At 4:48, Cali Yarncroke's got a 12th goal of the season. It was Mikhail Granlund's feed from behind the net to the low circle, which leads to a far side finish for Cali Yarncroke, giving the Nashville Predators a 2-1 lead, and almost immediately the Nashville Predators would add to it, making it a 3-1 game on Matthias Ekholm's 6th goal of the season. It was a breakaway rush by a defenseman who was completely out of gas, but Matthias Ekholm finds a way to get there, and he shoots far side and beats Lankinen clean. I'm telling you, Matthias Ekholm was absolutely on fumes, and I think at one point he thought about just dumping that puck and going for a change, but why not? Skate it in and take the shot. He does just that, and he gives the Preds a 2-goal lead in the second period. Nashville Predators now suddenly rolling. We would see at the 6:37 mark, the Nashville Predators are going on a power play, but unfortunately, they are also going to take a penalty for too many men on the ice. That would lead to a 4-on-4 scenario for 55 seconds. UC Soros would have to come up with a huge save on the continuation power play for Chicago on Patrick Kane, but that special teams series would come to its conclusion with no scoring. 11:03, UC Soros back to action, coming up with a huge save plus a rebound opportunity in the low slot for Chicago. A very good look by the Blackhawks. UC Soros up to the task. Unfortunately for the Preds, though, at 11:52, Kops got his first goal of the season, cutting the Nashville Predators' lead back to 1. Now 3-2 in favor of Nashville. He finds the loose puck in the slot, just outworked everybody, and he beats UC Soros. The puck was bouncing all over the place. There was a number of sticks and a number of players that could have gotten to it, but the Chicago Blackhawks player did get to it, and he ends up getting rewarded for his efforts and scoring a goal against the Nashville Predators. 13:57, UC Soros comes over the save on Kubalik's heavy shot. Chicago surging after scoring that goal, just like we saw in the first period. The Preds able to control play, get a couple goals, and be playing good, but then something happens. Chicago scores, and the Blackhawks go on a bit of a surge. That would be circumvented at 16:18 when Keith would take a penalty 2 minutes for tripping on Cunnan. He filled his punch card finally, probably could have been called for 5 to 6 different minors on that shift, and that wouldn't be the only shift. Duncan Keith was really bringing the physical element, and he was getting away with it, so why would he not continue doing that? Hard jam, hard battles between Keith and multiple Nashville Predators in this game, but he does get called on this one. Ellis would get the only good shot on this Nashville Predators power play. Again, the power play just completely lifeless without the two superstar wingers. 18:37, Soros save on Kane off of the rush. We hit the end of the second period. The Preds hold a 1-goal lead, 3-2. Chicago, though, out shooting Nashville now, 21-19. The Blackhawks had a little bit of a surge here, a little bit of an offense, but UC Soros able to maintain. We come out of the second intermission into the third period, and the Nashville Predators looking to make a statement on home ice and claim that number 4 overall spot, and no better player to do it than Tanner Janot at 23 seconds of the third period. His second goal of the season. Ellis makes the pass for the redirect near the slot, and Janot with a perfect skill play right here. This player can bring it all, and he has absolutely been a revelation for the Preds, filling in for Olivier on that fourth line on the Hurd line, and now with his second goal of the season, he puts his team up on home ice, 4-2 over Chicago. But the Nashville Predators would have another blow coming immediately as Cunnan would get his 5th goal of the season at the 41-second mark of the third period. He's all alone on the doorstep, and Granlund does the hard work and gets the puck to Cunnan, who has the easy finish. The Nashville Predators suddenly find themselves up 5-2 on home ice. That's the end of the night for Lankinen. Subban is in. Lankinen, for as good as he has been for the Chicago Blackhawks this season, he has not fared very well against this Nashville Predators team, now getting pulled at Bridgestone Arena. 3:13 of the third period with the Predators having a 3-goal lead. You see Matt Duchene bringing the jam. Two or three opportunities on Subban right there on the doorstep. Chicago has completely capitulated the hard areas. They've given up the slot. They are not making any attempt to clear bodies, clear sticks, or do anything. And the Nashville Predators are owning the Chicago Blackhawks hard areas in the beginning of this third period. 3:45 of the third period. Murphy hits the post from long distance. It goes off of traffic before hitting the post. At 6:14, Pew Suter's off to the box. 4 minutes for high sticking. Benning got a leaker out there on the ice. That looked ugly for a moment. Saros has to come up with a stop on to Brinkett's breakaway during the shorthanded situation. Everything's kept to the outside, and basically this is a 4-minute time killer for the Nashville Predators. It's unfortunate because with the 4 minutes, they had an opportunity, considering the troubles and the struggles they've had as of late on the power play, they had an opportunity to work some things out right here, maybe even get some fresh bodies, get some extra minutes, but they were unable to do any of that. 13:44, Johansson's off to the box, 2 minutes for interference. The PK would get the job done and be just good enough. 16:21, Arvidsson hits the post on a breakaway. 17:20, DeBrinkert off to the box, 2 minutes for roughing. Don't really know how he ended up in the box with the only penalty here. It was a large scrum started by Keith and Cousins. It kind of devolved from there. Nothing got too out of hand, but you can tell these two teams definitely do not like each other, and Keith had just been wearing out Matt Duchene. Cousins finally comes on into the corner and steps in to defend his teammate, and then everybody steps in. A lot of pushing, a lot of shoving. No gloves officially dropped in this one. That's it. This game is over. There would be some back and forth in the final minute and a half or so. Each team would get one more scoring opportunity, but none of it would make any difference on the game. 5-2 in favor of the Nashville Predators on home ice. Chicago would win the shots battle 32-29, but that matters very little when you're talking about a playoff race. You got to have more goals than the opponent to win, and that's what the Nashville Predators did last night, keeping themselves in fourth place. Now, 6-0 against the division rival Chicago Blackhawks. Two more games to go against the Blackhawks this week, both of them on the road. And of course, with the Nashville Predators being 6-0 against the Hawks this year, they've completed four of those games on home ice, two of them in Chicago, a 3-1 victory and a 3-2 victory back on the 27th and the 28th of March. The Nashville Predators will now close out the season series with the Chicago Blackhawks in Chicago. That will happen Wednesday night on national TV and Friday night in Chicago before the Preds come on home next Monday to take on the Florida Panthers for the first of two remaining games against that particular team. We're at that point in the schedule, my friends. We are closing out regular season series each and every time we see one of these teams now down the stretch. So for the Nashville Predators, good job last night. They handled their business, and now with nine games to go on the season, the Nashville Predators have themselves in a playoff spot. They have a head-to-head against the Dallas Stars and two head-to-heads against the Chicago Blackhawks, the two teams that are directly competing with them for a playoff spot. So for the Nashville Predators, keep handling your business against the teams head-to-head. And as we talked about extensively yesterday, while the Nashville Predators did not have a very enjoyable time facing off against the Carolina Hurricanes the previous two games and taking those two losses, I felt that the Nashville Predators were much more prepared to play going into this game against the Chicago Blackhawks. They took it to the Blackhawks. And yes, Chicago was able to seize momentum at times, but the Nashville Predators overall were a very good team. And remember, Chicago is desperate. Their playoff hopes, their season, all of that is on the line. So you're seeing a desperate team out there facing off against the Nashville Predators. So no shock that they were able to take momentum at certain points of the game. But the Preds did a good job. This was a big-time game for the Preds. This was overall a very good and strong effort. And every time the Chicago Blackhawks started to push and push hard, the Nashville Predators were able to get a response and they were able to answer and ultimately able to score the knockout blows early in the third period of this game. Nashville Predators, good job last night winning that game, their 14th home win of the season. You know what I always say, give me a 500 record on the road and give me 2/3 of the home wins and you're going to be a playoff team. Well, the Nashville Predators now are 14-9 at home. On the road, they are 11-12-1. Next two games against Chicago, pivotal, critical, the next two biggest games on the schedule for the Nashville Predators this season. could also bring their road record to 500 or better, depending on the results. That gets you all caught up on what happened last night at Bridgestone Arena and gets you set up for what's going to happen tomorrow night in Chicago. Let's go inside the box scores. Let's take a look at some individual performance, and let's bring you the numbers. Mostradamus will help me do that here in the second period. John C. Smith will help me do that in the third period, and Brian Baston will help me round it out with one big stat before the end of this show. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. It's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports and Predneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
I'm Yusi Saros of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Yusi Saros bringing us back to break right there on Predneck Nation Radio. Renegades of Puck in the trenches this morning. To Predneck Takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia. You also heard from Rebirth Sports bringing us back from break. Something awesome coming from Rebirth Sports in the mail very soon. All kinds of great things are going to be happening. Giveaways, celebrity ambushes. The High Council of Renegades will be fitted with the finest threads. Your jersey tailors, Rebirth Sports. Make sure you're checking them out. Support them. Give them a follow on all their social media. You hear the commercial each and every morning here on Predneck Nation Radio on Predneck Takeovers. And you also catch that commercial during the replays and on the podcast form of the show. So, again, make sure you're supporting that company. Jump in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck the same way that Rebirth Sports has, the way that Stripe Design and Print has, and the way that your company can. Playoffs are coming up. We're going to have plenty of advertising opportunities, and we're going to have plenty more commercial breaks. That's your first big hint and your first big tease, Renegades, for what is to come very soon. Here to talk to me about everything that happened last night at Bridgestone Arena and also preview everything that's going to happen tomorrow night between the Predators and the Blackhawks. He is the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation Radio. You can find him on this radio show all season long in the second period, and you can also find him on Twitter, at GreekGoalie35. He's already put some musings out for this morning. That's why I love this guy. In the trenches, first thing in the a.m., here he is, some man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tomorrow night between the Nashville Predators and Chicago Blackhawks. Before that, I got to get his analysis and opinions on everything that happened last night between the Nashville Predators and Chicago Blackhawks. He is, of course, Mostradamus. How are you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, feeling good. Predators stopped the bleeding. That was a huge win last night.
Mosh, that might have been the ambulance headed down to Bridgestone Arena to pick up the Chicago Blackhawks playoff hopes, because the Nashville Predators are certainly putting a quick end to those. No, it's still a race, and it is very much active, but the Nashville Predators now 6-0. Against the Blackhawks on the season with two more games to go this week. A best of three. The Nashville Predators already lead it 1-0. Let's go back to last night and talk about Yusi Saros. 30 out of 32 in this game. I thought he was very good and very strong at times when Chicago was surging. And there were other times in the game where, frankly, he could have taken a nap back there, Mosh. A very interesting night for Yusi Saros. Very busy at moments, but then very slow at other portions of the game. Take me through it and take me through the goals that were scored against him.
Well, another great performance by him. Now, that's 18 of his last 20 starts. He's given up two or less. I mean, simply put, he's just giving the Preds a chance every time he's out there to win a game. Two goals allowed. The power play goal from, start calling it DeBrincat's office. He scored 8 power play goals this season for Chicago, and pretty much all of them from that exact same spot on that off wing. So you have Patrick Kane on one off wing, and he can either shoot it, depending on what the penalty killers give them, or speed it over to DeBrincat. Now, of course, a little bit fluky because it bounced off of Saros' pads and goes right to his tape. But, again, he's in the right spot. He's going to fire that in every single time. Second one, a little bit fluky as well. You got, obviously, 2 or 3 block shots in that slot area. He was caught a little bit off his angle. But, again, when you have a shot block from one angle and it goes right to the hip of somebody else, it's really difficult to find that puck in that massive humanity that was in that slot area. So I can't blame him on that one. But aside from that, clean sheet and very timely saves, as you mentioned, when the game was still in doubt.
Some of those rebound saves he was making last night were incredible, maybe even underrated by us and even by the broadcast last night. He was very good. He was very dialed in, and he did the job that he needed to do. Let's talk about that. LeCunin. I know people were screaming. They wanted Duchesne back on one of these top lines right away, but I got to tell you,
Good call by the coach to keep this second line together. Clearly, some very good chemistry with this group. 2 goals and 4 assists last night. That equals 6 points. They also delivered 6 hits on the physical side of things. And, of course, that second line was Yarncroak, Granlund, and Cunnan. Mosh, talk to me about their performance last night. They were dominant.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic performance by them, particularly Yarncroak and Granlund. You've seen the stat line. Yarncroak and Granlund played over 23 minutes each. That is top-line defenseman minutes. That is Connor McDavid. That is Nathan MacKinnon-type minutes for a forward. I mean, you don't see that happen for the Nashville Predators on any level or at any time to see guys play that many minutes. That's because they play in every type of situation. Not only do they get the 2 goals and 4 assists, 6 points in the game, but they play on the power play. They play on the penalty kill. So the power play didn't do anything, but they were out there. The penalty kill, of course, they gave up the first one early goal, but they held strong after that. So they're doing everything out there. And Coach John Hunter, as we've said it before, when it comes to Mikael Granlund, he has found something in him, and he's utilized, and Granlund is playing fantastic hockey right now. So anytime he can contribute again offensively, that's a bonus.
Mosh, you mentioned the time on ice for these two forwards, and that is a high number. Throughout this season for the Nashville Predators, Mikael Granlund has approached 20-plus minutes several times, but this is a very large number. Almost 9 minutes of special times for Granlund and Yarncroak in this game. 5:38 on the power play for Granlund, 3:18 of shorthanded time on ice. Simply impressive effort by those guys. Also, 3 block shots for Granlund, 3 block shots for Yarncroak. You could go on and on. The box score for this second line, simply incredible last night. But I got to move on to the defensive side of things. The Nashville Predators, we talked about UC Saros having a relatively quiet night at times, but it was also the defense chipping in on the offensive side of things. Mosh, if I've ever seen a defenseman on fumes on a breakaway, I witnessed it last night. Mattias Ekholm deciding, I think, at one point he was just going to dump it in the corner and get the hell out of there, but why not? He's seen his teammate Phil Forsberg do it plenty of times. Just skate on down, take a wrist shot, score, and then go to the bench. And that's exactly what Mattias Ekholm did last night. He ends up with the game-winning goal. Benning with an assist, Ellis with an assist, and Benning overall, I thought, was highly noticeable last night. And Mosh, for Matt Benning, maybe the best thing that happened, and it's unfortunate to have to say something like this, but the injury to Borowiecki has absolutely allowed Benning to separate himself from that D pair and allowed him to thrive in numerous situations now with the Nashville Predators, even pairing on the top unit with Roman Josi at times. Talk to me overall about the defense corps last night, highlight Ekholm's goal, and talk to me about Matt Benning.
Well, let's start with Ekholm's goal, and that was a situation where, yeah, they were hemmed in their own zone for a while, and turnover happens, Johansson has it, and he sees Ekholm. Well, he looks like he's slightly behind Duncan Keith there, so I'll feed it out there and see what happens. And again, second period, very long shift. He's the left defenseman, so he has an even longer trek to the bench. But he went for it, and you can see Duncan Keith had nothing left in him, too. He could not catch him. And a little bit of a tricky shot also. He kind of looked like he was going to just take a slap shot, ends up hesitating for just a hair if you watch it again, and takes a snapshot instead. And beats Lankin and clean on just above the pad on the left side there. Perfect shot. Matt Benning, though, he's showing some things, and one of the things I have not seen from him is patience. That assist on the first goal of the game never happens if he doesn't wait for the forward to fly by him and finds a shooting lane where that puck can get deflected by Halla and Duchesne. So he did that again also in the second period where they had nearly had a tic-tac-toe situation happen, kind of got tied up by Kirby Dach to prevent that from being another beautiful goal. It would have been another assist for Benning, but I love what I'm seeing out of him. Yeah, he's earned those minutes with Josi. When you put Ekholm and Ellis back together, now you can put Benning with Josi, and then you have the two Twin Towers, basically, you can call it, with Ben Branson and Harper. Harper I didn't like as much last night compared to some of his other performances, but overall defense, strong game, being physical, and being very aggressive out there.
It was excellent to watch. And yes, Matt Benning certainly earning a lot of respect and earning those minutes out there. Mosh, since it is a 3-game set against the Chicago Blackhawks, I wanted to take an extra couple of points here and go into the Blackhawks game last night and talk about what they did. Mosh, that team gave up the hard areas. They absolutely surrendered the front of their net, and you can see that. The most obvious examples are right there at the beginning of the third period. Not just the 2 goals, but then Matt Duchesne just standing there jamming away at the puck, never paying a price. The Nashville Predators took up residence, and Chicago absolutely surrendered the hard areas on the ice. And Mosh, you know how it goes in this game. You are never going to win when you give up the hard areas.
No, absolutely. And we've talked about Lankin and how well he's played this whole season. Gave up 5 goals against Fulham. none of those goals were on him. Let's be perfectly honest about this. And I actually think it's going to cost him a start for Wednesday. Doesn't get any support for one. Two goals were deflected in from guys in front of the net that did not have a body on them. Two of them were one-timers from guys that were standing all alone in front of the net. Kind of seems like we were talking with the Nashville Predators the first month of the season, where guys are just standing there with nobody near them. And the other one, of course, was the Ekholm's kind of semi-breakaway there. So he's been struggling, though, as of late. He was making 35, 40 saves a night, but they weren't giving up these quality chances. The chances that Preds got last night were not those same opportunities they were getting in previous games against the Chicago Blackhawks.
Mosh, you teased something about Lankanen possibly not getting the start on Wednesday night. Two games to go in this regular season series in Chicago. Of course, we'll be here to preview and break down Friday night's game. So let's talk about Wednesday night's game. I have a feeling that the coaching staff is going to have numerous examples that they can show their team first thing this morning at the morning skate that shows them not playing very hard in the hardest of areas. And I have a feeling we're going to see a little bit more snarl coming out of the Blackhawks team. Their playoff life is on the line. They're sinking in the standings, and they have to do something to change the momentum against this Nashville Predators team. Their starting goaltender has been an absolute gem in Lankanen all season long, but he has not had a very good go against this Nashville Predators team. Mosh, that's a big setup to tell me, what do you expect tomorrow night in Chicago, starting goaltenders, gameplay, and overall your expectation?
Well, we definitely saw a preview of what's going to happen. It almost seemed like game one of a playoff series at the end of the game when the game was out of reach. A lot more board meetings, so to speak, between the two clubs. So some nastiness is going to show up, I think, on Wednesday night on national television. I do think Malcolm Subban gets the start Wednesday for Chicago. He, you know, came in, played well, and stopped all eight shots that he faced. Obviously, the game was out of reach at that point, but he might get the start, I believe. I think you have to go back with UC Saros, of course, the way he's playing. Critical game again against the team that's chasing in the standings. He's given up four goals and four starts against the Chicago Blackhawks. Save percentage upwards of .960 this season against Chicago. So, remarkable job by him. And again, it's going to be, I think, Saros against Subban Wednesday night.
Scoreboard watching tonight, Mosh, we'll all get an opportunity. The Nashville Predators, the only team in the Central, and of course the Chicago Blackhawks, not on the ice tonight. Carolina's at Tampa, Columbus is at Florida, and of course the most important game for Predators fans to be keeping an eye on, Detroit is at Dallas last night. Dallas manages to get it to the shootout and win that thing. Highly shocking considering that the Dallas Stars have lost 12 games in overtime or the shootout this season. Three games at hand against the Preds tomorrow when we get a chance to talk about this. They might only be 1 point behind the Nashville Predators. Look forward to talking to you about that and all things Nashville Predators hockey again very soon. Mostradamus, everybody can hear you in the second period of this radio show all season long. They can also find you on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He's the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation Radio. He's taking you inside the box score, a look at the individual numbers, performances, and giving you his analysis and opinions. I appreciate you so much, my friend. Great hockey conversation this morning.
Charlie, always a pleasure. We'll do it again soon.
Mostradamus jumping in the trenches first thing this morning. Sean C. Smith from OnTheForeCheck.com. He'll be up next. He's got the intel that you need to know, and he's also got a lot of information and reactions from post-game last night, breaking down everything that happened between the Nashville Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks last night. The Preds looking to secure that number four spot in the Central Division, which would be the fourth and final playoff spot, with a 5-2 victory over the Chicago Blackhawks, now moving to 6-0 on the season in the regular season series. Two more games to go this week in Chicago, Wednesday night and Friday night. That'll wrap up the regular season series between the Nashville Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks. Still tough hockey to go, but at least one more head-to-head against Dallas should help the Nashville Predators in the race if they are able to win that one. Dallas, Chicago, both tough schedules. The Nashville Predators, listen, it's not easy, but it is a better schedule than what Chicago and what Dallas have to face. We'll be back to talk about that and more right here in the trenches with Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. Sean C. Smith up next right here on Predneck Nation Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Matt Duchesne bringing us back from break right there. Scoring his fourth goal of the season. Great to see him back on the score sheet. Bringing the jam as well. With two shots on net. Also delivered two hits. Had a takeaway in his 14-23 a time on ice. Again, the Nashville Predators are going to need everybody pulling on the rope in the same direction. And a veteran player with the skill of Matt Duchesne, it's never too late to turn it on. I know that many of you have been disappointed with the results that you've gotten on the investment to this point. But if he catches catches fire right now like he did in the first 10 games that he was as a Nashville Predator, then every one of you will forget the lack of production up to this point. You will be celebrating as Matt Duchene goes on to help the Nashville Predators hopefully do some very special things coming up throughout the course of the remainder of the regular season and beyond. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia, here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey from ontheforecheck.com. He is Sean C. Smith. You can find him on Twitter at SCSOTF. That's at SCSOTF. He's got the intel that you need to know, and you should be following him because he updates it throughout the day. Direct access to the coaches and boots on the ground. I welcome him into the trenches this morning to help fill me in on everything going on with the Nashville Predators. Sean, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Charlie, I'm great. And I tell you what, I am ready to go today.
It is great to have you in the trenches. I am always fired up to get a chance to speak with you. And let's start with Matias Ekholm. Game-winning goal last night. We talked about it with Mishopoulos. He was on fumes on that breakaway, but he channeled Phil Forsberg. He got the job done. And overall, I've got to tell you, very good night for Matias Ekholm. Two shots on net, two blocked shots. He did pick up a minor penalty for sticking out the leg, but these things happen sometimes. Talk to me about Matias Ekholm's performance at Bridgestone Arena last night.
Yeah, you can overlook a penalty here and there if you have that kind of night on the ice. And yeah, the breakaway chance is great. I enjoyed seeing that. I was at Bridgestone Arena. The much larger capacity crowd enjoyed seeing that. That place lit up after he scored. And that ended up being the game-winning goal. And after the game, when we had a chance to talk to John Hines, all he could do was praise Matias Ekholm's leadership on and off the ice. And that's something that I think gets overlooked a lot because, no, he's not the captain of the team. Ellis is your associate captain. But Ekholm is somebody who's been consistent. He's been a leader. And when I say a leader on the ice, you know, you see him – firing people up. You see him getting involved. You see him getting in discussions, spirited discussions with the officials sometimes. But off the ice, you're starting to see a lot of, I don't know the right word to say this, but you're starting to see him pop up on some of the social media posts coming from the team before and after the games where he's getting the team fired up, starting some traditions when they're coming off the ice that shows that he's not just someone who's going to do that on the ice, but off the ice as well. The players seem to rally around him really well. And I'll tell you, I'm glad that he is around, gets to hear that phrase, because for a while there this season, it seemed like he might not be.
Sean, I've always been a big fan of Matias Ekholm. I think that you could start a defense core around him. I know that there are some who disagree with that, but I think that he brings the talent of every facet of the position all rolled into one big body physical type of fired up leader, and I really like what I saw last night. I thought that was a very, very good and strong performance. I look forward to many more performances like that from him down the stretch, especially now that he's paired back up with Ryan Ellis. Again, something we've tracked and talked about on this show for so long. I went back and did the mental exercise of going through the whole thing last night when the Nashville Predators traded for PK Subban and that it didn't work out with Roman Josi, and I went through the whole thing last night, and I am so happy to see Ekholm and Ellis back together. Sean, let me get to the next topic with you before we start running long just talking away here. Identity last night for the Nashville Predators. I thought there was definitely times in this game where they not only played to their identity, but they were executing it at a high level. But then there were other times, Sean, where it completely got away from them. Kind of a weird night. Momentum swings back and forth. But for the Nashville Predators, at least for parts of this game, they were able to really execute their identity. Just talk to me about the up and down nature of last night's game.
Yeah, and I'd have to agree with you. You know, I think identity was the main problem that Josi pointed out after games against the Hurricanes, saying that the team got away from their identity. And it seemed like every player kept saying, as long as we play to our identity, we'll be fine. And that identity is something that the team worked really hard to find and solidify. So that I wanted to know, you know, why are they getting away from that identity? Why is that something that's popping up now? And I think a lot of people out there, not just fans, but other people in the media, are going to start trying to blame that on returning veteran players, but I don't think that's it. I think it's comfort. If you look at what happened against Carolina, you see at that point in time, they'd gotten comfortable winning, and that comfort breeds complacency, and a complacent team is not a hungry team. Several weeks ago, John Hines commented that hungry dogs run faster, and he said that in reference to rookies coming in and trying to earn roster spots. But at some point, the whole team got hungry during that run, and you saw that hunger start paying off on the ice.
But then you saw the team run into the Hurricanes. And I said those games with a couple of minor changes are winnable games, but the biggest change that would have helped was maintaining their identity. And sure, the Preds won last night, but did they maintain their identity the whole time? Well, the first goal response, when the Blackhawks scored, it was a solid response, but it wasn't sustained. You saw a flurry of big hits with the team turning on the intensity in the neutral zone as well. And then, of course, when the team gets set up in the offensive zone, there is a barrage of activity in front of the net, but it wasn't sustained. And unfortunately, when they took their foot off the gas, that resulted in that second goal against. But the second goal response was exactly what you wanted to see. After the Blackhawks scored again, the team did exactly what they needed to do. Considering that now, for this team, the playoffs are on the line, after missing out on 4 points against Carolina, that hunger kicked back in, and the team had sustained pressure that shut down any further opportunities. And sometimes the best defense is a strong offense. You don't have to worry about defending if you're constantly attacking. And that attack paid off. They scored two more quick goals at the beginning of the third, and that demoralized the Blackhawks. By maintaining the pressure and energy after two more goals of their own, they prevented Chicago from taking control of the game. So we can talk about the individual identity of each line, but the team-wide sustained response to the Blackhawks' second goal, that's the team identity that they've been talking about. That's the team identity that they had been lacking for a couple of games. And that's the team that outworks everybody else, and that's what they need to maintain moving forward. Not just to give themselves the best chance to make it to the playoffs, but their best chance to make it in the playoffs as well.
Sean, own the slot, own the game, own the dirty areas, own the hard areas, and you will control the game. It wasn't just the Nashville Predators controlling those areas and owning those areas last night, but I felt that the Chicago Blackhawks ultimately surrendered and threw up the white flag, and by the third period, the Nashville Predators were able to just stand completely alone and pay no price to score goal after goal. Talk to me about the Nashville Predators' ownership of the slot.
Yeah, there is one spot on the ice where the light of the hockey gods' love shines, and that is on the slot. And if you look at the Predators shot map from last night, it's a giant red splotch right in front of the blue ice, and that's exactly what you want to see, not just from any team, but especially from this team. And it was funny because Brian had a chance to talk to Yossi the other day, and he asked him about how a lot of the goals are starting to come from below the tops of the circles, and Yossi responded, well, most goals are scored in front of the net. And I think it's a big change in perspective from a team that seemed like most of their offense was driven from the blue lines. And what's even crazier is that while there were five goals last night, I can think of at least four more chances the Preds had in front of that net that could have easily been goals. So they need to keep that up, and not just against the Blackhawks.
Sean C. Smith, give me a quick preview. Give me a minute on Chicago tomorrow night, national TV, and then Friday night. Of course, we'll have a chance to recap and break down before then. But give me your thoughts between game one and game two real quick.
What you need to see happen is you need to see the team continue to try to establish dominance in the neutral zone, not just when Chicago's trying to enter, but when the Predators are trying to get set up on the power play. You need to see a big change in how that power play starts performing, because that one or two goals a game that you could maybe depend on if the power play gets moving, I think is going to be the difference maker for this team. Get that identity back together, maintain that, sustain that pressure the whole game, but turn on some scoring in the power play. Get Victor Arvidsson to stop passing the puck when he's wide open, when he's got a shot lane, and let him shoot.
Sean C. Smith from OnTheForeCheck.com. He joins me in the third period of this radio show all season long. You should be tracking his work on Twitter at SCSOTF. The intel that you need to know. Boots on the ground, direct access to the people that are in power. Sean C. Smith, I can't thank you enough for jumping in the trenches with me first thing this morning.
Anytime, Charlie. I'll be ready to go when you need me.
You heard from Mostradamus. You heard from Sean C. Smith, and you're hearing me facilitate the offense from each and every angle. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. Brian Baston will be at the Renegade Analytics Desk, and he'll break it down, bringing you one big stat next, right here on Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
Hi, this is Matthias Ekholm of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Matias Ekholm bringing us back from break last night, also bringing the Nashville Predators a victory with his game-winning goal on the breakaway last night. A hell of a box score overall for Matias Ekholm and the Nashville Predators. Now holding on to that fourth spot in the Central Division with the victory over the Chicago Blackhawks on home ice last night. Game 1 of 3 this week against the Hawks. They'll now head off to Chicago National TV on Wednesday night. Then Friday night, they'll close out the regular season series against Chicago. Currently 6-0 against their Central Division rivals. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sarnay. Welcome back into Predneck Nation Radio. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. You heard from Mastrodamus. You've heard from Sean C. Smith. Now, it's time to go over to the Renegade Analytics desk, and it's time to hear from Brian Baston. You can find him on Twitter at Brian Baston. He's got the charts you need to see, and you can find those over at onthefourcheck.com. He's also got the numbers that you need to know. Brian Baston, good morning. Tell the people your one big stat for today.
Well, good morning, Charlie. Well, we're all feeling a little better with last night's win, somewhat riding the ship after two straight losses. I want to bring us back down to earth a little bit with today's one big stat, and that is 29. 29th is the rank of the Nashville Predators power play over the last 2 weeks. That ranking is based on the goals scored per 60 seconds. I think it's a little bit better measure of power play performance than just measuring how often they score and the power play time that they're given. But going back to that unit in the last 2 weeks, Nashville has managed only one goal in 23 attempts, which is only 4.3%, scoring just 1.5 goals per minute, per 60 minutes. Compare that with 2 weeks prior, from March 22nd to April 5th. Nashville scored 4 power play goals on just 12 attempts, a power play percentage of 33%, and 14 goals per 60, which was good for third in the NHL in that time period. Now, anyone who's watching this team knows that the power play has struggled without Philip Forsberg and Elliot Tolvanen. In the last 2 weeks, Tolvanen only played one of the 8 games in that span, while Forsberg missed all 8. However, in that 2 weeks prior where the team ranked third, Philip Forsberg missed 7 of those games as well. And what nobody's really talking about is that Roman Josi missed every one of those 7 games. So is it just Tolvanen's absence that led to all the success in that time? It's pretty likely, yes. But there are some other curious things that popped up. You know that one of the things I love to talk about is shot quality. And so when I took a look at that, but in both of those 2 week periods, they had an identical 8% shot quality. So unfortunately, it's not that. But something even curiouser kind of came up as I was looking. Prior to these last 4 weeks that we've been talking about so far, the Nashville Predators had scored 20 goals on the power play, which is 20 out of the 25 that they scored all season. But in all of the shot attempts that were taken in those games, defensemen took 27% of all of the shot attempts on the power play. Now, look at the last 2 weeks where they've been so bad. The defensemen took 14 attempts, but that account has taken 14 attempts, and that accounts for 30% of all of the shot attempts. But in that period when they were third in the NHL, those 7 games, they only took 16.7%. of the shots. Now, that tells me that, you know, and as it should, the power play runs a lot through Roman Josi. And since his return in the last 2 weeks, the number of attempts by defensemen have gone up. But it is a little bit curious that you see that shot quality hasn't changed, but they are a lot more predictable because they know that they are going to be looking for Roman Josi to take those shots from deep, and it's most likely not going to become a goal. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, again, the number of power play opportunities that they took. So, again, like I said, in that period where they were third in the NHL, they were only on the power play in 7 games 12 times. That means that comes out to about 1.7 power plays per game. Now, in the last 2 weeks, they were up to 2.9 power plays per game, which is a big difference. And again, it's not just how effective they are at scoring goals on the power play, but the fact is other opponents know that they are not a threat. And so they are – They're taking penalties a whole lot more, knowing that Nashville's not going to follow up. So if Nashville's going to make a run in this playoff, yes, they survived the last 2 weeks without Philip Forsberg and Elliot Tolvanen, they are going to have to find that answer. They're going to have to hope that those two come back strong, but that may not be possible, and so the team has to get better in all facets of the game.
He's Brian Baston from onthefourcheck.com. He's brought you one big stat from the Renegade Analytics desk. He's got the numbers you need to know and the charts you need to see. You can track his work on Twitter at Brian Baston. You can find his work also at onthefourcheck.com. Brian, sure do appreciate you jumping in the trenches this morning and bringing the Renegades of Puck your one big stat today.
It's my pleasure, and let's do this a couple more times this week.
Brian Baston right there from onthefourcheck.com. Also, Sean C. Smith from onthefourcheck.com. You heard from the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation, Mostradamus, and me, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. The trenches are expanding, my good renegades, one foot at a time, one listener at a time. Each and every one of you knows a renegade or five. Bring them to the trenches, pass those links, spread the word. We need more. We need support. We have big things coming. We are going to be requiring more numbers for more things. That's as much as I can tell you for right now, but there will be a major programming announcement concerning this year's radio show and the Renegades of Puck coming up in the next couple of days. You'll just have to tune in to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. You have been in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Stick taps, love, respect all.